our friend Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com. Hey, Chip, how are you?
Hey, very good. How are you, Bill?
Doing great. Thank you, as always, for your time. We appreciate it. You know, Chip, I know we had you on live with us last week and talked about this a lot, but still kind of been looking back at the whole trip to Jacksonville. It helps that Georgia won, of course, but we were, I think, reminded again, for those of us who believe that's the place to have the game, of how special that weekend could be, because it was a pretty good weekend for Georgia fans, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great weekend, and yeah, thanks for sharing some time with me down there at Sliders. That was a blast. I wish we could get together, you know, on a beach every week for our our weekly discussions.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes. Amen.
I drive to Macon now and then if it wasn't so doggone far away from Athens. And though maybe you would consider doing a few remotes on Thursdays from Athens, Georgia.
But yes.
The entire week, I thought, was a smashing success. You know, I think the fans had a good time. When you and I were down there on Thursday, it was absolutely gorgeous, 87 degrees. You even encountered a pop-up tropical storm, tropical shower. Then it was kind of mild the rest of the weekend, but it was nice. I mean, it wasn't bad at all. It was kind of, should I take a sweatshirt or not? Maybe okay. The food was fantastic everywhere you went. I don't know about you, but I know there are Florida fans down there, and I saw them on Saturday. I mean, they came out in good numbers, and there were a few in Amelia Island, but you just don't see as many, and maybe that's, just the parts of the area that you and I frequent. I don't know, but I've been all around. I've been to Jekyll and Cumberland even, and Amelia Island, Fernandina Beach, all over. And, it's Georgia that makes the Georgia-Florida game float. You know, they there's no question they do. They come out in big numbers, spend a lot of money. And, hey, if you can win every now and then, especially when it's a meaningful game, that's even better.
No doubt about it. It was a lot of fun, and you're right. I think I guess the Florida fans are just home, right? They're just at home.
Yeah, so Gainesville, 75 miles away. Orlando, a couple hours maybe.
Yep.
It's good. It's a pretty good haul. Miami's like being in another state, and so is Tampa. And those people don't come, looks like to me. I mean, I just think most of the people around the area come. It's a 80-mile drive, as I understand it, or less than that, by bus from the Florida Athletic Complex, to the hotel they stay in. They actually zip all the way through. They zip all the way through Jacksonville and go over to Sawgrass and stay over there every year. Assume they did that this year like they normally do. And in a lot of ways, Georgia flying directly out of Athens, it might even be a better overall, less strenuous trip on them, because they literally do, they leave by bus from the Butchmere building. They go straight out to a tarmac. They got two planes that zip them up, Delta charters that zip them up, drop them down in no time. I mean, I understand end to end it's 2 hours until the Bulldogs are walking, into the Marriott down in Jacksonville and finding their way into their meeting rooms and hotel rooms.
Chip, we talked last week on the show about the fact that Florida was 11th in the SEC in rushing the football, and that would be a key. And, hey, if you'd have told us on Thursday they were going to run for 21 yards, we would have said, well, take the Bulldogs, and that was what happened. You can't win too many games running for 21 yards, can you?
No, you can't. And, it was such a – that's what's kind of odd about the game. Once again, from a national perspective, I'm not sure people completely get it because, let's be real about it. The vast majority of the nation, probably even those in the college football playoff selection committee group, they're looking at stats and they're looking at highlights, but they're not watching down for down. Well, if you watch down for down in that game, you would have thought, Georgia whitewashed them. I mean, in fact, they had a pretty good shutout going into the third quarter, keeping them out of the end zone at least. And kind of messed around. That's kind of the Georgia way, though. And not the Georgia way, but I mean, Kirby's made it clear he's a little old school in his belief. And as long as you're taking care of business with turnovers, takeaways, and kicking your field goals, you're going to be okay. You can have the anomaly every once in a while, like you did in South Carolina, and not make your field goals and have turnovers and not any takeaways, and it'll get you in trouble. But most of the time, the way Georgia plays with generally the better personnel than every team that it faces, it's going to win those games. And it's a, you know, it's a successful formula. I can understand why Kirby sticks with it.
Chip Towers, our guest from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com. Boy, Lawrence Cager, my group, we always sit around and do predictions before the year, and I've got to go back and see if anybody picked Lawrence Cager as their breakout player, because he's it, isn't he?
Yeah, that, you know what, I'll have to go back, because I do every year do a preseason, you know, five things to watch, or Georgia will win if these five things happen, or whatever. It's a good time to pull those out. Maybe I could make myself look real smart. I don't, which is a hard thing to do. I don't know if I could do that regarding Cager or not. Now, there was buzz about him in preseason camp, you know, that he had looked good, that he was the real deal. Obviously, he's tall, but there was just as much buzz about Matt Landers, if you think about it, and Tommy Bush, who are built similarly, you know, athletically, you know, both 6'5", 6'6" guys and all that. But if we'd have known this, I think we could have probably included him in that discussion. And he's been a big deal. You know, it's interesting sitting there talking to you, and we got some extra time since we were able to hang out down there in Sliders. It's funny when we talk about this, we were talking last week, like, was the South Carolina game an anomaly or not? I've got to see that. I was talking about it. I saw it as a referendum game for Kirby Smart. You know, hey, the referendum passed. And then we were wondering how good is Lawrence Cager going to be? Because when he's been healthy, he's been really, really good. Well, you know, he's still not 100% healthy, as I understand. He said he wasn't hurting after the game, but, you know, he's got a separated shoulder. He's got a shoulder subluxation issue that, you know, when you have that, it kind of, you keep having it. You know, it doesn't go away until you're able to get surgery to tighten it back up, which he's not going to do in the middle of season. It hurts, and they can pop it back in, and then it swells up, but I think this is going to stay with him, so that's going to be something you're going to have to watch, you know, probably week to week from here on.
Well, you mentioned Matt Landers. Do you believe that if that penalty had not happened on the Swift touchdown, which would have made it 24-3, that margin of victory for Georgia would have been much more significant than 7 points?
Absolutely. Again, another discussion point we had, I think it's a momentous venue. So when I think you would have seen the Gators heading to the exits by the hundreds. A lot of them did anyway before the, I say hundreds, by the thousands. I think they did by the hundreds as it went anyway. I mean, even though the Gators technically had a chance to, you know, onside kick or get the ball back right there at the end of the game, a lot of their fans had left. A lot of them left after Georgia was up two scores. That would have made it, you know, three plus scores, and I think you would have seen a lot of quit in the Gators. But to their credit, in any good team, and you know, they fought all the way to the end, and they made it interesting. They made it way more interesting than any Georgia fans wanted it to be. But it is what it is. You touched on it, 21 yards rushing. The first downs were ridiculous in Georgia's favor. The time of possession was ridiculous in Georgia's favor. The third downs were in another stratosphere. All these are indications of domination, and that's what Georgia did.
All right, Chip, let's look ahead to this Saturday with the Missouri game, 7 o'clock. It's going to be cold in Athens, great November football weather for that matter. But the matchup with Missouri, what stands out to you when you look at this game coming up?
Well, I mean, you know, not a lot, to be honest with you. As we've gotten closer, I think I share the view of those Las Vegas Sharks, you know, who've seen this line go up farther and farther. Since I think it opened at maybe 13.5 or so. Last time I checked, it's at 17 or over. I mean, a lot of people are laying big money on Georgia, and I agree with that. Matchups aren't good for Missouri. I mean, I think they're definitely I think Kelly Bryant is the type of guy who can make a lot of plays. He can really get hot, dual threat. They always have good receivers at Missouri, and they do this year as well. They're pretty decent in pass defense, but they're not great at stopping the run. They're good. They're better than Florida was at stopping the run. But I got to looking closely at that. You know, their defensive line averages I can't remember exactly what the number was, but I think it's maybe 275 pounds. You know, going up against Georgia's O-line, which averages 330, they're giving up 50 pounds a man across the front. That's significant. I mean, they're small. And, you know, what we've seen is if Solomon Kindley and Andrew Thomas and Isaiah Wilson can get their hands on you, you know, you're in trouble. They're going to put you where they want. And I just get the feeling with everything's on the line, I feel like Georgia's due to get a little hot now. I think I think they're kind of like Clemson. I think they've felt disrespected a little bit. I think they've got everybody healthy now on the O-line and the D-line, by the way. Look at that Georgia's rushing defensive stats and not allowing a rushing touchdown all year. You know, a night game, they got all those LED red lights, light up Sanford. I'm expecting a pretty raucous environment, and I'm frankly expecting Georgia to come out and play well for once from beginning to end.
I agree. And, you know, Chip, they've got to feel good about themselves. We also said last week that the goal for Georgia coming out of Jacksonville was to walk out of there with not just a win, but to feel good about how they played and feel good about what they did. They've got to feel that way. I think the reaction of the head coach and his little personal celebration on the field after the game showed you of how they felt about themselves. But they know what's in front of them. They know what they've got to do. And, I mean, look, like you say, you know, Kelly Bryant's good. Roundtree's a good running back. But, man, it just doesn't look like a good matchup for Missouri at all.
Well, I think it's just a different level. And, you know, obviously this is a team that's coming off losses to Vanderbilt and Kentucky. You talk about the confidence is a big factor in college football. And I just don't see them. They weren't even sure for a long time whether Kelly Bryant was going to be able to play. I just don't see them coming in here brimming with confidence. Now, I might be wrong, but I just don't see that happening. And the converse of that is Georgia should be feeling really good about themselves. And I think you're right. I think the way Kirby Smart was acting at the end of that game told you all you needed to know about how he felt. He knew how important that game was. He'd heard all the chatter out of the Florida camp. I think he'd had about enough of Mullen and you know, his trolling and his just the Mullen thing. I can't even explain it about that guy. I don't dislike Dan Mullen, but he does. He's just one of those guys on the other side. You know, when you're on the other side looking at it, I don't like that guy. Maybe you feel differently if he's on your team. But just the way he leads and the way he acts and, you know, cussing out his assistant coach on the sideline in front of everybody. I mean, it was a bad look for the Gators. Okay, keep an eye on them, by the way, you know, going forward. Where do they go from here? But, yeah, Georgia, I think, is feeling really good about themselves. And, you know, they're in the proven stage now. They got a great situation from, you know, this game is huge because they won the last game, and so on and so on. That's the way it's going to be. Auburn's sitting there with an off week, getting ready for them to come to Jordan-Hare in the Plains. And, you know, Georgia's got a tough kind of road to hoe, and they know that, but I think they're ready for it. I think the stars are kind of aligning here in this last third of the season.
You can follow Chip on Twitter at CTowersAJC, at CTowersAJC, and, of course, his content online, AJC.com, and in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Chip, thank you so much, as always. We appreciate it. We'll see you Saturday and talk with you again next week before the big game against Auburn.
Always enjoy. Thanks, Bill.